Welcome to Town Square. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. As always, our conversations include you. If you'd like to join us, the phone lines are open, 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, use that one, 941-3689. And if you call us from the neighbor islands or if you're listening to the live stream anyplace else, you can get to us at 877-941-3689. You often hear people say it, Hawaii is such a spiritual place, or that it just feels different here. However you may assess their perceptions, a focus on spirituality is part of many lives, individual lives. But what about the life of a community? Is there a role for spirituality in building a community? That question was only hinted at in the first collection of essays, The Value of Hawaii. In the second volume, it's directly addressed. Tonight, we'll consider what role spirituality has in creating community in the last of our conversations based on The Value of Hawaii, Volume 2. Around the table tonight, Kavika Patterson. He was the warden of the Women's Community Correctional Center, and now he's at the Juvenile Detention Center. His career in public safety spans 25 years in Hawaii and Nevada. He was raised in Makaha and is a graduate of the Kamehameha Schools, and he attended New Mexico Military Institute and holds a degree in criminology from Florida State University. He says his vision is to create Pu'uhonua, a sanctuary, a place of healing and transformation. He also penned one of the essays in the second volume of The Value of Hawaii. Also with us tonight is Ashley Galaka. She was born and raised in Kalihi after her parents emigrated from the Philippines. She went to the mainland for college, found something missing in L.A., and returned home to finish at UH Manoa. She is now in graduate school studying education and is involved with Critical Education for Engaged Communities. It's a nonprofit organization that holds spaces where individuals from different communities and generations can come together. And of course, you're here too, and we want to hear from you. What is the role, if you think there's one, for spirituality in building a community? Our number is 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Welcome to you both.
Aloha.
Aloha. You can. It's all right. You can say something. Both of them are scared because they haven't done this before. It's all right. When we talk about spirituality, sometimes it seems like it's almost the elephant in the room, that we want to talk about it, but we're not quite sure how to talk about it. Does spirituality mean only religious affiliation? Is there something different, deeper, other? How do you define it? Ashley?
I believe that the reason why many people avoid spirituality is oftentimes it's something so personal, yet by often imposing it upon others, I think that's why other people want to be respectful in that way, being open to see how others define spirituality, whether it be about connections with your ancestors or about the land. I think oftentimes religiosity has oftentimes been really hurtful and traumatizing. So I think that's why it has been removed from a lot of spaces. Yeah.
It used to be sort of we were told, well, you know, there are two things you don't talk about, religion and politics. Everything else is okay. But the walls from a lot of those things have come down, and yet they tend to be intertwined too. Look out, take a look at what's happening around the world, and there's sort of unavoidable to see what's happening. But as we are here in Hawaii, and it seems to be just a different community in the way we interact with each other, perhaps, Kavika, because we are on islands and we're sort of dissociated from each other. You know, you got to get on a plane to go visit your relatives if they're over on the Big Island. But it's also the fact that we have a very deep tradition of spirituality in Hawaii. How does it play out for you in your life?
I think, you know, when I talk about spirituality in my life, you look at the values that I was raised with in our family, how we were taught, and how our parents role modeled their lives as we were being raised. Spirituality also includes my life experiences, you know, as I use the values as I was raised. So who I am today spiritually is not the same man I was 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
A lot of us might be able to say that too.
Yeah. So, you know, spirituality is not a single time. You grow. You grow into where you eventually become for the present day. And I'll probably grow another 20 years if I'm lucky. But it's a combination of the values that we have been raised with and the experiences of that life has given us that makes us who we are inwardly.
What kind of values specifically?
Well, when I look at the... You know, everybody has different types of values. You know, I was raised in a large family. So there was at least 11 of us in our house. And, you know, we were taught to care. The older ones were taught to care for the younger ones. Everything was done as a group, you know. We sat at the table when we ate. There was always service to others, you know, whether it be... our father used to like to go and help the homeless on the beaches. You know, we would collect food, you know, and pass it out or provide tarps for their tents.
You did this just as a family, no particular...
Well, this is an affiliation with the churches that we belong to in Honolulu. And we would bring the items to the beaches and whatnot. But it was something that was led by the father, you know, I believe strongly that our family system is where spirituality begins. Yeah. And from my profession, as you introduced me earlier, because of the brokenness of our families today, spirituality can be lost. Yeah. And so you create a new different individual.
Which is what you've tried to do within the correctional system.
Yes. Is try to introduce spirituality to those who you may say, quote unquote, have lost hope.
Which seems that you defined a role for spirituality in the community that you were creating within a prison.
Yes.
How is that sense of community and the way you build it with spirituality different from, say, what Ashley might be experiencing on the outside? Because, I mean, after all, you are dealing with people, as you just said a moment ago, who have been broken.
I think we talk about, even in our family, brothers and sisters, each one of us had our gifts. And each of those gifts provided for the whole that got us through each particular day. One of my older sister, whenever something happened and it involved blood, she was the one everybody ran to because she was never nervous about healing. Yeah, or stopping the bleeding or whatnot. Of course,
she's a family nurse.
Yes, of course, she became a nurse eventually, right? She's an RN at Queens now. But, you know, something like that. Everybody went to somebody for something, and everybody had a gift. So when you look outside a family in terms like a village, and I wrote about this, every house in the village had their value to the village, you know, and they added to it and whatnot. And this is every culture in Hawaii can claim a village existence long ago when everybody needed each other to survive for food or for defense. Yeah. Modern families today or communities don't need each other to do that.
In fact, we're given lots of reasons not to.
Yeah.
And lots of ways where we don't have to.
Yeah. So families only need each other now and don't need the neighbors. Yeah. So we would care less about if something happened. And while we create institutions to house the those people around us that are not following the rules, and so it's easy for us to throw people away from our communities for somebody else to watch, and we don't want them to come back. So how do we care for ourselves? How do we learn how to care for ourselves again? That's what this whole concept is about that I talk about, pu'uhonua, which is a Hawaiian concept of how when issues of relationships, when you need to reunite people, there were places to go to do that. Yeah, you were never thrown away and forgotten. You went to a place where those relationships were healed so that you could return to the village and be a gift again to the village.
But there was always the expectation that that could happen, that someone could be healed, that you could return, as opposed to just putting people away so that we don't have to bother with them or care for them or have them somehow disrupt our space.
Yes.
Ashley, as you listen to this, how different is this from the idea of spirituality that you have as a much younger person with, I don't know how many brothers and sisters you may have, but his experience sounds very different from a lot of people's. Is it different from yours?
A lot of what I was hearing really resonated. I just have a brother and a sister, both older. So smaller family in that sense, but yet I do have a really big extended family. My mother is the eldest of 8 children. So I do know that sense of connection with my extended family. However, I do see that even with our families, it's often still separate too nowadays. I don't know if it's changing with the times or...
Well, I mean, just look at the fact that we're having many fewer children. I mean, there are 11 children in Kavika's family, 3 in yours. Many families have only children or none. The whole family structure has been changing. Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we have to all have the same kind of experience, but there's an impact in that.
Right. When I hear of broken families and how oftentimes for maybe the women and the children who go through the system, when I hear like a space for healing and transformation, I think this is a vision that we have for our in education. So a lot of the work that what was written in the book, it's about having a transformative type of education where you begin to look at your own story and how you're connected, how your story is very similar to your neighbor's story or your classmates and then your teachers. And then the thing that we do is create a space so that we can invite people to share those stories of trauma, of healing. And I think that's a similar thing we hope to do and share together.
If you're just joining us tonight for Town Square, we're having the last of our conversations based on the value of Hawaii Volume 2, a subject that wasn't really directly discussed in the first volume of essays, the issue of spirituality and what is its proper role in creating a community. I know you have feelings about this. Let us know. 941-3689 is our number. If you call us from Oahu, that's the number to use, 941-3689. Or 877-941-3689. What is the proper role of spirituality in building a community? Or do you think there isn't one? We want to hear from you. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We often have a lot of angst over how do you bring a sense of spirituality into a classroom, for example, in your case, given the fact that you're studying education in graduate school, and not put something sort of onto children or foster a sense of belief that might be inconsistent with parents or family members. How do you separate that while you're in a classroom situation and still keep that sense of spirituality alive? What would be the proper role of that in building that kind of a classroom community?
I think the challenge or what we would like to see is that we don't want that to be separate. Who you are and the traditions that you believe in and the values that you believe in, we welcome that into that space. I know that oftentimes comes with tension and a lot of contradiction, but I think that's the challenge. How do we bring to light some of these things when we want to be able to have those conversations? And I think in order to begin to heal, because I think that's when we bring spirituality and fully who we are without having reservations, I think that's when we begin to learn to be honest and we have that understanding in that space. I think that's when a lot of growth and a lot of true learning from each other happens.
We call that in what we do at the facilities is an attempt to create a safe place. Yeah, a place where your ethnicity or your age or your crime doesn't really matter while you're in this room. It's just about who you are as a person. And that the next person, they have to feel safe enough so that the next person respects them for who they are. When they feel safe in that room, then they can truly express their inner self. And that's not always an easy thing to do, to create a safe place. But that's amazing if you can work at a model at doing that.
We have Scott from Honolulu who is on the line with us now. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 941-3689. If you're on Oahu, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you call us from the neighbor islands, tonight we're looking at what is the role of spirituality in a community? What should it be? Given all of the different traditions we have, how do we build a community and still say that faith and spirituality have a place in it? Do you think they do? Scott, welcome to Town Square.
Yes, ma'am. For tonight's topic...
Scott, I think we have a small problem here that we can fix very simply if you turn down your radio.
Okay, ma'am.
There you go.
Thank you. I was listening to your program, and I was just wanting to pass along that for those that are interested in tonight's topic, Scott M. Peck wrote a book called The Different Drum that deals with this topic and in detail, and it's a bestseller, and you might find it very interesting to listen to, or to read, rather.
Right. Thanks for the recommendation, but how do you feel about this? What do you think the proper role of spirituality is in building a community, if you think that so?
Well, I can't really get into detail right now because I'm driving.
Oh, okay. In that case, we'll say goodbye to you and tell you to drive safely.
I had a quick comment, and I wanted to make that comment, but I don't necessarily want to make that comment as I'm crashing into the car in front of me.
Nor do we want you to be doing that. Thanks very much for the call. Drive safely. All right. If you want to give us a call, pull over, or we hope that you have a hands-free. You can talk to us, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We're going to Mike calling us from Kaneohe. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Thank you for taking the call. This is a kind of an interesting issue that I've been kind of thinking about because I have absolutely no belief in the supernatural at all. And I don't think we should be founding any of our laws on a supernatural belief system. However, when it comes to something like spirituality, there's certain feelings and affinities and empathies that we feel for each other that are hard to describe in scientific terms. They're just too complex. It'd be like describing a Beethoven symphony in terms of pressure variations. Instead, you talk about music. And so I have that set of feelings that we call spirituality, I think, is purely natural, can be natural, and we can talk about a spirituality that doesn't require a supernatural belief system to support it. Perhaps your caller's take on that.
Well, everybody's invited to chime in on that one because there can be a difference between spiritual feelings, as you call it, and religious affiliation. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have both going hand in hand necessarily. So you've already sort of said how you feel about all of that. So within a community and in a classroom, you wouldn't mind some sort of spiritual driver to it, but not necessarily a religious one.
Right. And that's why I'm somewhat conflicted about moments of silence. One could certainly have a purely secular moment of silence, but that's not usually the way it is presented or implemented. like I say, we have these feelings, these empathies with each other, and we can build a community based on, you know, mutual good and our legacy from our evolution of how we had to work together as a species to survive. And
But your point is that we can have empathic feelings for each other, but they don't necessarily have to be religious affiliation. And those feelings are more spiritual for you.
Neurons now, and how even apes and monkeys seem to actually be able to have empathy with each other. You don't have to, and how humans we're learning that when you just see somebody else doing something, neurons in your brain fire that mirror that action or provide in sort of a very instantaneous and natural empathy with that person.
All right, Mike, thanks very much for being brave enough to call up and say exactly what we said. Thanks very much. Going now to Sean calling us from Wahiawa. Aloha, Sean. Welcome to Town Square.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, thanks.
Just a quick comment on something that you had said. Now, I'm a licensed minister for a very large Christian organization, and my take on this is very simple. Spirituality necessarily is not dependent on religion or doctrine or anything like that, but rather, I would say it's much more broad in that spirituality is identification with oneself and how they react in their society, in their community, and with their peers, whether that's family or colleagues or coworkers. And I think that if we as a society had more relation with ourselves, and how we reacted to one another, we could probably go a long ways in reducing crime, reducing low education scores and things like that, because we would take more pride in who we are and how we react to one another. And that's just kind of my take on that.
It sounds a little bit like what Mike just said about having empathic feelings for each other and being able to act on those more fully.
Probably. I was on hold whenever he was speaking. I caught the last bit of what he was saying. But, yes, just taking more accountability for who we are. And that has very little to do with religion. And a matter of fact, people that are religious, including myself, we can kind of harness that and we call it we're spiritual. But anybody can be spiritual, whether they have religion or not, whether they believe in a higher power or not. And I think that that's what's most important.
Sean, thanks very much for the call.
I like what he had to say.
Kavika, respond to that. Go ahead.
And it's true. It's that if you have a sense of who you are and where you're going and where you've come from, there is a spirituality attached to that. Yeah. When you have run across people that you might say to yourself is not spiritual, they have a lot of issues that they haven't dealt up with right now. So, spirituality in that sense, it's like I shared with you before we started, is that you can ask some people, some of the surfers on the west side, they're most spiritual when they're in the water. Yeah, that's where they find their peace, their whatever, and that's how
sense
they
define communion.
Yeah, with I don't know if you want to call it supernatural or what, but it's a relationship that they've developed that works for them, that involves an environment setting.
And a lot of people get that when they go hiking or they go out into nature, mm-hmm. when they're alone. I mean, there's just something that happens that seems to be more under the umbrella of communion, communing with nature. For some people, it's communing with God. Some is just getting quiet within themselves,
right.
which could be all those other things kind of rolled into one. Tonight, we're talking about spirituality, not a conversation we have a whole lot on Town Square, but one that we're addressing. It's one of the subjects taken on in The Value of Hawaii 2, a collection of essays. It wasn't really addressed in the first book, but it sure is in this one. And as we've been talking to Kavika Patterson, one of the authors of an essay in the book that's pretty much near the end of it. Also, Ashley Galakak is here, and she is the student of another one of the essayists who couldn't join us tonight but sent her in his stead. She's doing a pretty good job, even though she's been a little scared as we've been going on. And you too, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. The big question is, what's the role of spirituality in building a community? Is there really a role? And how do you define that? What do you see in the community that says to you, spiritual versus something else, whether it be religious or not religious at all? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. We want to hear from you. Going now to Zori calling us from the Big Island. Aloha, Zori. Welcome to Town Square.
Aloha. Can you hear me all right? I just kind of lost you.
No, we can hear you just fine.
Okay. Aloha, and thank you for a great topic. I just wanted to, again, build on what your prior callers and presenters have spoken about. First is the division of spirituality and religiosity in terms of inclusivity and exclusivity. Spirituality is all-inclusive, whereas religiosity is a sense of one's belief being superior or more right than the other. So we have to define that. Some people are capable of being religious and spiritual at the same time. Others just prefer to practice spirituality. And quite a few topics that came up, including being self-determined, including service to others, including having a sense of our ancestors and what we permeate to our descendants. And also, I wanted to add on that our environment and our cultures are very decisive factors in our spirituality. When you look at the native peoples of the world, many of them have fallen apart after they have been exposed to new and conquesting cultures that dominated them. And one of your guests is working in the prison system. I'm an educator, and from early on I can see signs of difficulty when families are broken into pieces. But there is a concept in Hawaiian, lokahi, unity, which decides that a human being's spirituality is within the kino, kekino, kauhane, your soul, and kamanao, your thought, and kahonua, which is your environment. So it's a combination of all of those. And if we want to create spiritual communities, we need to be diversity, not tolerant, but understanding. We need to accept others without trying to dominate others. And letting others be, and through our love and service and devotion, create the change that we want to change.
Zoe, I think
that we want to create.
You're getting no argument from anybody around this table. I'm watching heads nod at me. Thank you so much for calling and speaking so eloquently. Thank you.
Aloha.
Going now to Daniel calling us from La'ie. And if you want to join the conversation, there's a phone line with your name on it. If you call 941-3689 on Oahu or 877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands, or if you're listening to the live stream, that's the number to call, 877-941-3689. Aloha, Daniel. Welcome to Town Square.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. you know, spirituality and religion, they can be very similar in a lot of ways, and there are a few differences, however, and one of those main differences, I don't know, I feel at least, it's not always the case, but in general, I think of spirituality as having gatherings, just like a religious organization of some sort, but in spirituality, the depth of the organization might not be so penetrating into the community. When you have a religious situation, which, you know, people have come towards religion because of their inner spirituality and spiritual experiences. And when you find yourself in a religious scenario, you have kind of made a commitment towards whether it be a church or a group or something. And oftentimes with that synergy that comes with a group, you can make a much larger influence. And the service is not random, or I mean, not that there's a problem with random acts of kindness, but organized acts of goodness can actually, I feel, be more effective and kind of lead to more of the herd immunity idea.
Daniel, you sort of explained the differences as you see it between religious affiliation and just sort of spirituality in isolation. But what do you think then is the role of spirituality in a community? Where do you think that happens? Only within religious institutions or beyond?
Well, I think that spirituality is kind of an initial prompting to kind of see where people are comfortable with taking care of their neighbor to some extent, and, you know, spirituality, no one's going to be forced to do anything, but I can think of times in my life, for example, when I would be spiritual and into, you know, spiritual things, but I was kind of self-centered in that aspect. I can still be kind of self-centered, whereas if I make a commitment to a community or a church somewhere
and then I'm asked to help out. You know, I have to be committed to that if I'm going to really decide that, you know, I'm going to kind of share my spirituality. So I kind of feel like spirituality is a first step, but I don't think that we can just stop right there and say that religious affiliation can be done away with. So.
Daniel, thanks very much for the call.
Yes, you bet.
If you'd like to join us, the phone lines are open, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. I want the two of you to chime in on some of this, because we had a string of calls and a lot of discussion about what spirituality is and what it isn't, and where one feeds into the other, of that into religious affiliation. But really, I think what Daniel was sort of touching around, he said, well, you can be, you know, spiritual with yourself, but that can be far more you know, self-aggrandizing than necessarily tied into other people and having the accountability to other organizations, religious ones or otherwise. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people hear spirituality and they think kind of the new agey, airy-fairy stuff that came out of the maybe 70s, 80s, before it was the new agey thing in the 70s, but all of that kind of thing. And that's not what a lot of people who are deeply spiritual like us to go to. You know, they really want to make a real division. So if you consider yourself a very spiritual person but not necessarily affiliated religiously, we want to hear from you too. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. If you're on the Big Island, what do you do as a spiritual person to create community that might be a very different activity than what some of our callers have said in the context of a religious organization? 941-3689. David, you look like you're about ready to spout out. What do you want to say?
Well, I'm just saying, in terms of a community, every community is going to be different. As every human being is different here, spirituality is going to be defined differently by the journeys of the individual as well as the journey of the community itself.
So are these words somehow too jaded or laden with different ideas and concepts? Are they just so full of so many other things that it's tough to unpack it all?
Yeah, sometimes I think you don't want to overcomplex the word of spirituality. And somehow, how do we keep it simple? Yeah, we've heard a lot of the callers coming in and they're all giving their definitions. And sometimes at this point, it may sound like it's getting more and more complex.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting a lot of definitions, yeah, but not a lot of answers to the question of, right, really what is the place in which spirituality should hold within a community as you build that community? How do you weave it into the fabric of the community if you think you really should? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Some of the things that you said earlier, Kavika, about how your family operated, albeit directed by your family's church, but still doing things together as a family in service to others, and also being able to be around each other a whole lot. Probably very different from your experience, Ashley, certainly different from mine as an only child. But some of the same values can come through all of that. You don't necessarily have to have the same experience to replicate the same kind of values or commitment to a community.
Yes. I do want to add that when I hear about religiosity and such, I also grew up in a very strong, like, Christian tradition, and that was very much at the center of my family. That was our time, our family time, and I think it has affected or influences a lot of how we are and how we relate to others. I think it is a very Christian sense in that way. However, I do recognize that there's power in religious institutions, as in it has a certain way of getting people together, you know, filling up a church and having that be one of the very consistent things in someone's life. And I think in the community building that we do, we recognize that religion has been very, very important in my community. I come from an Ilocano family, and oftentimes I always couldn't tell the difference between Ilocano and what is Catholic, you know, my Christian tradition, because that it's so interweaved. And I think when we build and create spaces, we recognize that it's a language that my mother, my grandmother, No. So when you say like, oh, it's a, that's why we have stations, as you had read in the piece, Stations of Kalihi, where we pick sacred sites. And it's adopted from the Christian tradition of Jesus' suffering.
Yet, the Stations of the Cross.
Right, Stations of the Cross. And it's something familiar with many of my peers and for me. Yet to adopt it in a way that it's actually saying these are our stories, seeing our stories and our the way we just getting people together. I mean, there's comfort in that. Knowing a tradition, a ritual, it's inviting.
That sort of goes back to, I think, what one of our earlier callers was talking about, those empathic feelings that we have for each other and building on those and creating community. Although he was saying it doesn't necessarily happen for him within a religious context, for you, that's very important that those two things are married.
Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of callers on the line. We want to hear from you, too. 941-3689 or 877 941-3689, going to Frank, calling us from Makihi. Aloha.
Hi, I just wanted to start to say that I used to think of myself as an atheist, but I don't say that anymore because I now feel that I can accept the concept of God, even though to point out that, you know, it still is said that God is dead, but I think that the scientific method killed the concept of God because people became too swallowed. They swallowed that concept of scientific method to say that if you can't prove anything, then it isn't true. But spirituality is half of the makeup of humanity. Without spirituality, it's only humans are only half of what they are.
Frank, thank you so much for calling. Going now to Sachi, calling us from Kona. Aloha, Sachi.
Aloha. I love this conversation. It's really inspiring. I think one of the things that I see missing, I'm old now, I'm gathering some wisdom as you get older, and one of the things I see is that the human race itself, we've kind of just, with this technology thing, we've separated ourselves from nature as if we're not part of it. And creation, the word creation itself, you can replace it with whatever you want, but if you don't understand that we're part of creation and that the natural world is, there's no separation between us and it, the further we get away from nature, the further we get away from our spirituality, I believe. That's my deep, deep, deep feeling.
Well, thank you for being willing to call and share some of those with us, too. Thanks, Sachi.
Thank you.
Moving on now, and if you'd like to join us, 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Tonight we're looking at the role of spirituality in building community. Not a conversation we have a lot. Sometimes it gets a little bit tough to talk about, but how do you feel about spirituality? Do you see a difference between that and being religious? And is it all tying back into how you behave in the world and how you help to build community? Or do you feel just the opposite? We want to hear from you too. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Christopher, calling us from Kaimuki. Aloha, Christopher. Welcome to Town Square. Thanks for your patience.
Hi there. To get to your question about building spirituality within a community, I think the two basic factors are really both language and then storytelling. What language we use defines how we perceive the world, whether, you know, however we perceive it. And storytelling is how we pass on the values that define our culture.
So put that into the context of spirituality versus, say, religious affiliation.
Well, you know, it's a religious affiliation. You can be spiritual and not be religious, and vice versa. You can be
arguably religious, but I guess my point, spirituality.
My
point back to your idea of language, because Ashley said something of that too, and we heard from Kavika a little earlier about tying it back to how we as families talk to each other, how we as people talk to each other, giving a basis of communication. But
well, the stories you tell in your house, if you were maybe raised in Africa at one point, you might hear stories about Anasazi, who was the trickster for some of the African tribes. But that was how they were also passing along spiritual values. You could look at, Native American storytelling. You can look at, say, your Christian storytelling through the stories of the Bible. Spiritual values can be passed through the story. So I think there's a place in education for stories, but also that they have to be taken in context of the culture and, say, the language that they're being told in. When we look at, say, your modern age, new age spiritual values, a lot of the vocabulary there is borrowed from, say, India or China. The Asian vocabulary is richer in spiritual terms than, say, English is. So we also should be trying to, promote more learning of languages foreign from our own.
Good idea. Thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And unfortunately, in a lot of schools where kids don't have the opportunity to learn a lot of language, it gives them perhaps just a little bit of a taste of a different culture or a different way of being. I saw you nod a lot in that, Ashley, as he was talking about how we deal with this in the educational setting.
Right. Especially with language. So I have what I call, I can understand completely Ilocano, yet for some reason I cannot speak it. And I feel many of the generations now do not speak the language of their ancestors and where they have come. And I think language a lot is the way to understand where we have come from. So when I hear language, it doesn't have to be spiritual in the ways of we're speaking about, I don't know, but there are certain things I feel when I hear Ilocano, like just the language spoken in itself. And I've seen how people operate differently when it's, the language of what's at home. And then when you're in school, you're operating differently. And that's why when I hear having a space to have all languages spoken, I think that's even closer to how connected we are to where we have come from. So language is really powerful.
And obviously something that is extremely powerful for you.
Yes.
Our number is 941-3689. If you would like to use some of that language to talk to us tonight about our topic, is there a place in our community for spirituality? What is that proper role as you see it? 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to Johan, calling us from Kihei. Aloha, welcome, and thanks for your patience.
Hi. I'm an atheist, so I kind of have an outsider's perspective on this spirituality versus religion thing.
Well, thanks for calling.
And it seems to me that spirituality, well, it's been presented as kind of an inclusive thing where you can have, everyone can go along with it. It's not, one religion versus another religion. But I've observed that spirituality, especially New Age spirituality, is more exclusive than organized religions.
Tell me why.
It seems like people who follow that kind of a belief system, in their own minds, they're superior to others. First of all, superior to people in other religions, and especially superior to atheists and agnostics, people like that, who don't follow any kind of a spiritual or religious belief system.
So, Johan, to ask the question, does spirituality have a place in our community, you would say no?
I would say that it's less effective than organized religions. If you look at Jews, a lot of Jews aren't practicing Jews, or they are, but they don't necessarily believe in supernatural part of the thing. It's like a cultural thing for them.
Well, but for many religions, you could say that about the same thing, too, that people come together for the cultural and social connection, a sense of rhythm, I think Ashley was talking about a little earlier, having maybe that one predictable thing that you do every single week in your life.
Well, I don't think that really applies for spiritual people at all. Like one of your callers was saying earlier, a lot of spirituality is like a self-centered thing. You do it on your own. You have your communion with the universe and all that stuff. And you're not going out and participating in the community like you would if you were a member of a church. So.
All right. Well, Johan, we're going to leave it there with you. I think that Kavika wants to answer you. Thanks very much for the call.
Well, I just want to make a comment, you know, because, again, you know, we might be going really, really broad with this. You know, as a Native Hawaiian, we look at Molokai as the spiritual island.
Okay? For very good reason.
Right. And if you ever met the people from Molokai and you seen them on Oahu, you would know they were from Molokai just by the way they present themselves. And I'm saying like that because they might be Hawaiian, they might not be Hawaiian, but they're from Molokai. But if you look at them as a people, their different religious backgrounds and their different ethnic backgrounds, they're all the same, coming from a spiritual island. So in that sense, there is spirituality in a lot of our communities already that can be identified from people not from those communities. Yeah. And so how we're trying to define it here, we really want to say to ourselves that it's there, but maybe we don't recognize it as being that. Yeah.
Do we recognize it at all? Are we too afraid of it?
We don't have a clear definition. If you were to go to the North Shore on the night that the Kahuku Red Raiders played Punahou in Kahuku, there'd be a lot of spirit going on in that community because that's a very tight community. Yeah. So you have to really look at your communities and ask yourself, you know, what spirituality are we looking at? You know, when you look at a community, you're looking at, how close are they? How close are these people that when something happens, they can come together and become one?
So as you have now just come out of the Women's Correctional Facility, no longer working there as its warden, how did you see that happening there within that community differently than you see it in other places? Did it happen more slowly or more deeply?
What happened there is to open everybody's eyes that though the women journeyed there differently, they had the common issues. Yeah. And once you created a safe enough place for them to talk about it, they realized how much more related they were based on their issues than difference based on their ethnicity or faith or things of that nature. And what you want to do is to create that place, what we call place of healing, so that they could unload all of their hardships, all of the issues that have kept them from being successful in the regular community. And so what we have done basically is to create a community of women who have similar backgrounds and issues that are now there to support each other when they get out.
Now you're dealing with kids. How do you take some of those same feelings that you have for creating a healing community and work with kids who haven't had life journeys yet? They're just starting.
And that's the big question right now as I just beginning to evaluate and assess the children that are coming into the system. Yeah. The juvenile system has come a long way in Hawaii, and the movement right now is to keep them from incarceration. So we really have a small amount, and that's the ones that fall through all the nets. So how do we create an opportunity for them to feel safe, talk about their issues, and still be children? Yeah, because children will always be impulsive. Yeah, and we have to create something that will help them deal. So it's not about you did something bad, now you got to be good. Because at that age, at 15, 16, 17, you always are going to be confronted by obstacles that you're going to make a choice that could go bad or good. So it's not about making the choices, but how are you going to get back up, learn, and not do it again? Yeah.
And how do you connect that back to any sense of spirituality when those years are kind of, you know, kids don't want to hear a lot right. about that usually. Yeah. That's when there's usually sort of a lot of fallout from kids, not necessarily wanting to connect in a spiritual way or even a religious way.
My thing is reconnection with the environment. Yeah, it's to provide the opportunities land. For them to go out and learn about the land, learn about the ocean, things that they take for granted. Yeah, there has to be that type of thing. What we Hawaiians would say that where the land grabs you, yeah, and the ocean grabs you, and then you become one.
We've got lots of callers who want to talk to you, probably more after what you just said. 941-3689 or 877-941-3689. Going to go to Leroy calling us from Aiea. Aloha, Leroy. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a quick question for your panel, then a follow-up to that. To the panel, can spirituality be both a good thing and a bad thing?
Okay. We'll take that part first, and then you can do your follow-up. Is it a good thing and a bad thing simultaneously?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Kavika says yes. Why?
Because you have good spirit and you have bad spirit.
What defines the bad spirit?
The bad spirit is your actions.
But yeah. What defines that action as being bad?
When we talk about spirituality, is how you, in one way of defining it is how you treat each other.
Right, because here's the follow-up.
Right.
You go down to the Capitol and you go back a couple months back about the gay marriage debate.
Mm-hmm.
One side of the spectrum, there is people appearing all spiritual, saying God was on their side, saying the Senate will vote no on passing this bill that gay marriage is bad. Then on the other side, you have the gay community, all spiritual, saying, you know, things are going to go good. There's a good spirit. We're going to get it passed and it passed. So what side of the spectrum was correct?
Well, that's kind of a tough question to answer. What side was correct?
That's what I mean. Can both sides are spiritual?
So what I think I hear you saying, Leroy, is that you have both sides claiming spirit to be on their side or belief to be on their side, and yet one side clearly won and the other side didn't. And so you're looking at this as somehow was there not enough spirit on one side, or was there just an overabundance on the other? Or why could, if they both had spirit at the same time, did they both not get what they wanted?
Some extent.
Yeah, I don't think in terms of one was wrong and one wasn't. But one, you know, I think in terms of that was the journey that occurred, that a community had different opposing views, and they can claim the spirituality that they had in fighting what they believe was right or wrong. It turned out the way it was. That's a journey of the community. You're always going to have different opinions within a single community.
So did one side have a bad spirit?
Well, and the way you're putting it that way, I don't think it's a bad spirit. It can appear to be a bad spirit, but they felt strongly about a subject, and they used their spirituality to try and to back their cause, I guess.
So when can spirituality be bad then?
I think what I hear you asking kind of behind that is that as this was occurring, because you're talking about the issue of gay marriage, you're talking about a lot of emotion, a lot of deeply
Correct.
Held beliefs that were being evidenced in a way that wasn't particularly pleasant or happy for the people on the other side. And so given the fact that you say, you know, if you're spiritual and you care about each other and you take care of each other, how could this happen? Could we not just disagree and not have one group perhaps calling the other group names or feeling that there was something bad about them? And why didn't we sit down and take care of this in a little bit more rational way? Is that what you're asking?
Both sides were shouting at each other, but both sides on their own side were feeling, you know, spiritual.
Right. I mean,
it
doesn't matter which side you want to put into it, but the whole idea that we just didn't take very good care of each other in having that discussion and being able to do it with a sense of spirituality, not necessarily superiority.
Does spirituality then separate us?
Well, I think a lot. What would you say?
I mean, I think we can both agree that spirituality was used as a driving force. It united a lot of people, and it was powerful in that way.
It also separated a lot of people.
Yeah, so I think a bigger question that I would like to think in the role of using spirituality and building community is, what are we building it for and towards?
That's where we're going to leave it there, because I promise we get a couple more callers in. Leroy, thanks very much for the call, and thanks
for
bringing that up. John calling us from Kailua very quickly. John?
Yes, I had a question, mainly, not really a question, but for Kavika. I love the way he said in his 11-person family, the way they raised each other and the way they had the values, you know, from the older generation to the younger, and how they raised each other. That's what I want to do with my kids. Do you think that raising a kid in a religious setting inhibits that spirit, the natural spiritualness of a child, when you have that religious part of it within there? I would rather let my kids grow with the values I want them to have and let them decide.
All right, John, you asked him a question. Let me give him a chance to answer before we have to say goodbye and you don't get one. Thanks very much for the call. Can you answer his question?
I think it's possible to do that. Yeah, especially in Hawaii when, you know, nature is just all around us. Yeah, it's never good to not allow growth to happen to the children in terms of letting them go to the beach, letting them play in the mountains, letting them play in the rivers and the streams and whatnot. That in itself will develop no matter what you teach at home. Yeah, but as long as you give them that freedom to go out and explore, that will only enhance the lessons that are taught at home.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and being willing to sit down and talk about this. We could talk about this for a very long time, and I promise we'll take another hour at some point in time and do this when we've probably had enough of public policy and politics, and we need to talk a little bit more about this yet again. Thanks very much for coming in, Kavika Patterson. Lovely to have you here, and thank you very much to Ashley Galakak for coming in to talk with us too. And for all of you who called, sorry to all of you who we couldn't get to as we're coming to the end of the hour, but we hope that you'll remember that sometimes you just got to call earlier in the hour when you feel moved to do that. Before we go, I want to give each of you a chance just to encapsulate some of what you think the rest of us ought to be thinking about as we look at what the proper place of spirituality is in our community. Ashley, I'll let you go first.
I think the proper place is to recognize that it is sacred to be in community, that taking the time to connect and to hear and listen to each other, I think that's the first step. There is a lot of spiritual that we can feel from the land, and we just have to listen to how our bodies feel and how our hearts are moved, and being together in community is sacred.
I think the key for spirituality individually and as a community is to clearly have a divine something as a vision. You know, spirituality is not meant to be stagnant. It has to move, and it has to move toward a direction. So there needs to be a vision.
And that vision can change, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
Thank you both for being here. Thank you all for joining us. And just a quick program note, at 6:30 coming up on HPR2, you'll get to listen to the debate. So stay tuned after Marketplace. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning for an Aloha Friday version of The Conversation. Meanwhile, have yourselves a good evening. Aloha.